Thank you. Okay. How is everybody today? We're good? Are we being honest? Are we good? Yeah, got some shrugged shoulders over there. Yeah. Yeah, some of us may be better than others, but we're all good in Jesus, and that's the important thing. So no matter what, how we are actually feeling, and I was reminded by a dear sister of that this morning, it's not about what we're feeling, it's about what's happening in God and who Jesus is, because he doesn't change. So our life circumstances might change, good things might happen, bad things might happen, but Jesus doesn't change, and his truth does not change. He is always good, regardless of the rubbish around us. He is always good. He always loves us. He always has the best for us. And even when the enemy wants to prowl around like a roaring lion, and he wants to pick us off, and he wants to tell us that things are not good, we have God's word, which reminds us that he is good all the time. All the time. And that does not change. That does not change. So we're just at the end of the Christmas period. And some of us may have had wonderful Christmas times. Some of us may have had different Christmas times. I know that's been me. It wasn't quite what I had planned or what our family had planned. And I wasn't able to join in all the lovely Christmas celebrations that I wanted to join in. My mum was very unwell, and so she has been in hospital and is still in hospital at the moment. So we actually spent Christmas morning with her in the hospital rather than being with all of you at the Christmas service. So I missed being with you all, but hope you understand. We believe is on the mend, as in she's getting better in Jesus' name. And we've seen God doing miracles while she has been in hospital, even while we were waiting to be admitted in A&E. Jesus showed how real he was. He sent a Christian nurse to us. And this Christian nurse, it was 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'd been sat in a chair for hours already with her by her bed, and we were waiting for a proper hospital bed to come free. And this Christian nurse came, and he just sang over her, and he sang, "What a friend we have in Jesus," over her. And just reminding us, the chorus reminds us that we need to bring everything to Jesus in prayer. And how hard life is when you don't bring everything to Jesus in prayer. And so he provided that angel, it was a man, Christian man, to come and be with us in those first few hours when things were quite scary. God is so kind that he provided somebody at the right time. And there have been other miracles since then that have happened. Christmas wasn't all that I expected, but it wasn't outside of God's plan, I believe, I can see what God is doing in difficult situations in my life, even through what has happened in the last week. And I'm believing, or I'm trying to hold on to the belief that God will continue to work in those difficult situations, even amongst the pain. Because God has given me promises And I'm trying to keep my mind on those promises and believe those promises. And as I believe those promises, I believe that God is going to keep working and bringing those promises about. And that's what this talk is going to be about this morning, about the fulfillment of long-awaited promises. So I'm going to read, it's the end of the Christmas story, which is in Luke 2. So if you want to turn there on your phones, or if you've got actual Bibles, then turn to Luke chapter 2. And we're going to start from verse 21. And it's quite a big passage I'm going to read. Later on, when I there will be some translation up on the screen later on when I come back to particular verses. But I'm just going to read it all. So if you want to look up on your phone, Luke chapter 2, verse 21 to 40. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Sorry, that verse has just hit me because my mum, on Christmas Day, she nearly died. And she reminded God that there is still one thing that she has to do before she goes to be with him. And she said to the nurse, "Can you tell Joanna, if she was to go and go unconscious?" She didn't go unconscious, it was okay, but tell Joanna, "God's agreed that I have one more thing to do." And anyway, she's getting better now. But that verse has reminded me. Thank you. That's okay, not enough hands. Thank you. So it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, that this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then she was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but she worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word. I wonder whether you have been praying for something for a long time, whether there's something that you have really wanted for a long time and you believe that God has promised you it, but you haven't seen it happen. I wonder whether there is something that you have been faithfully praying for years for. And sometimes it can be hard. You can have lost heart. You can have, you could have given up perhaps on what you think God has promised you. Perhaps it's you've prayed for someone to get well and they are still poorly. Perhaps you prayed for a long time for the salvation of a loved one, but they still are walking in a different way. Knowing that you are praying God's will is really the key thing here. That's what's really important. Once you know his plan, his promise for your life or for those that you are praying for, then you know how to pray. And of course, in the Bible, there are general promises that we can all grab hold of as we pray. So we know that Jesus does not want anybody to be lost. So we can pray for all of the lost, those that don't know him, to know him. We know another promise is that he will never leave us nor forsake us. So we know that he is always with us. We know that he will provide us with all we need. He is. One of his names is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, our provider. So he will provide us with all we need. There are many promises in his word which we can grab hold of. But there are personal promises as well. And if you haven't already, I've talked about this before, so I'm not going to major on this today, but if you haven't already asked him what it is that he has for your life, then you need to go and seek him. Perhaps when we have our week of prayer and fasting in January, that would be a good time to seek him. Seek what is his will for your life. Because there is something for each one of you. In every season of your life, there is something that he has for you to do. And you just need to ask him and find out what that is. And then it's something that you can aim for and you can pray towards and you can seek him for, and he can give you step after step until it's achieved. But he does have something for each one of you. And if you know what that is, you know how to pray. You know how to pray because you know it's come from him. So then you are praying in what he wants over your life. And that's really important. So there's a story of a couple, and I think they were actually in America, and they had been praying for 10 years they couldn't have their own children. They'd been through various fertility treatments, and they'd been praying for a child, and they'd actually gone to an adoption agency in the end, but they had waited a number of years for a baby to be given to them, but they just seemed to be passed by year after year. And they were a Christian couple, and so they were praying. And while they prayed and they waited, they continued to faithfully go to church, continued to faithfully serve God, and just to continue to be faithful in their walk with the Lord, even though they were carrying quite a disappointment in their hearts that it didn't seem to be happening. But one day things got really desperate, and the wife got down on her knees and she just said to God, "I feel that you've promised us a child, but I'm going to trust you even though it's not happening. And even if it never happens, I am still going to trust you." And that was her prayer. Meanwhile, many miles away, there was a young mum to be. And for months, she had been thinking about who she should give her baby to. Suddenly, as she was looking through all these folders of photos of possible parents that she could give her baby to, she saw this couple in front of her on these photos. And she knew at that moment that it should be this family, this mum and dad. And when they came together, they realized that it was the same point in time. It was the same point in time as that lady had got down on her knees and had given it back to Jesus and had said, "I trust you." And then they had this precious baby. They were given this precious baby to bring up. And God is faithful with his promises. It might take longer than we think it should take, but God works things out in his time. In his time. And so there might be things that this morning you can think of that you are struggling with. Things that might be causing you pain because they're not quickly being resolved. They're not quickly being sorted out. But we are God's children. If we have said yes to Jesus, if we have let him become our Lord and our Savior, then we belong, we are his brothers, we are his sisters, and we belong to God the Father. And God the Father will work out his best in his children's lives. He will work out his best plan in your life if you keep trusting him. If you keep trusting him, keep holding on to him, even when it's tough, even when it looks in the natural like it's rubbish, even when the enemy comes and whispers lies in your ears, because it is lies. And I pray this morning that you will have open eyes to what the enemy is saying, and that you will be able to discern what is the enemy and what is the truth. And that you will see and behold Jesus this morning in your whole being. So we're going to go back to the story. There was one promise. There was one promise which God had made to the Jewish people. And they had waited for many, many years for this promise to be fulfilled. And that was, they were waiting for the Messiah. So if we could have the next slide. Thank you. So the Messiah came, but it was in the form of a baby. And so many people missed it. They didn't see what God was doing. They didn't notice this little family, this little baby. It was inconsequential to them. They completely missed that this was the Saviour of the world come as a baby. And in fact, they had waited so long and so faithfully, and some of them, the Jewish people, even now are waiting. They're still waiting for who they think is the Messiah. They've missed it. They've missed that he came 2,000 years ago. And only a few people at the time noticed. So the shepherds, they noticed, as we saw, was it last week? When at the carols by candlelight, the shepherds noticed, but they only noticed because the angels came and told them. But they noticed. And then much later on, the wise men, they noticed the star that was different. Those wise men probably came from Iran. All these are our Iranian brothers back there. So they probably came from Iran, but they were people that looked at the stars and they noticed a new star was there that they weren't expecting. And so they followed that star to see what it would take them to. And they found this baby. Well, actually, he was probably 2 years old by that time. But very few people noticed him coming. And then at 8 days old, he was given the name Jesus. And Jesus means Yahweh saves. I'm not sure what's going on with this mic. Can anything be done, Richard? No? Okay, right. Is it my tissue? Ah, thank you. Right. Okay. And then the angel had originally said that he should be called Jesus. And so he was then taken and he was named and he was circumcised according with Jewish law. And then 40 days after the birth, Jesus is taken by his mother Mary and Joseph to the temple to be presented to God as was the custom, and to purify Mary and to offer sacrifices. Now, Jesus was God's son, but his family still carried out the ceremonies according to the law, because Jesus was born under the law. And it says in Galatians, and Galatians is a book in the New Testament, it says it was to redeem those under the law, and he fulfilled the law perfectly. So the family came to perform the ceremonies. But it's interesting, they actually, if you look in Luke at chapter 2 and you see what they actually did, they only did one part of the ceremony that they were supposed to do. So they didn't do the second part. So the second part was required for firstborn sons. And that was the act of redeeming him, buying him back from God. And every new parent was supposed to do that for their firstborn son. And it was just for the price of 5 shekels. And that comes from something, a book called Numbers 18:15-16. I'm just going to read that. So the first offspring of every womb, both human and animal, that is offered to the Lord is yours. But you must redeem every firstborn son and every firstborn male of unclean animals. When they are a month old, you must redeem them at the redemption price set at 5 shekels. So it's interesting that every other firstborn son would have been redeemed, but Jesus was not. And he's left unredeemed because he's not being bought back from God, because he is God's son. And he is fully dedicated to God, his Father's service. But Jesus has now entered the world of devout, Torah-observing Jews. That's where he is now, where this Messiah, the promised Messiah, he's entered the world of the Jewish nation. That's where he is. And then we've got, if we can go to the first reading that I've put, thank you. So, we've got two prophetic people, and they enter the scene. So this is Luke 2, verse 25. So there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too." So Simeon, he's a devout man, he's a holy man, he's been waiting patiently for the promised Messiah. And it's a time when the nation of Israel, it's oppressed, it's under Roman rule, and they've been looking for a deliverer to come and rescue them from the Romans. And Simeon, he's righteous, and he says he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. And that's a bit of a hard expression, so I'm going to make it even harder. The Greek is paraklesis to Israel. Paraklesis to Israel. And it basically means that it's referring to the deep longing and hope for the arrival of the Messiah. And the Messiah, that also, that the Greek is messiah, which means anointed one. And he had been prophesied. There are many prophecies in the Old Testament of this promised Messiah that was going to come. And they had expectation that this Messiah would come, would deliver them from Roman rule, would bring in a new era, a new kingdom, would come and rule that kingdom, and it would bring them redemption and spiritual restoration. That's what they thought this Messiah would do. They didn't realize that actually he was going to come as a lowly baby in a manger. That was how he was going to begin the redemption. That's how he was going to bring the restoration. That he was going to grow up in lowly, low circumstances. And that he was going to, he was never going to be a king as we might think of him as being a king in this earth. Yes, we know he's a king in heaven. He is the king in heaven. But he was not going to take a crown here on earth. But he was going to grow up. And then one day he was going to lay down his life. He was going to choose to lay down his life for each one of us. One day. And that's how he was going to be the Messiah. That's how he was going to be the deliverer. Because he was going to make a way for all of us to find him. And through him, to be reunited with the Father, with Father God. But they didn't understand that in those days. And Simeon was waiting for the Messiah. and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And he had promised Simeon that he was not going to die until he had seen the Messiah. And now the time has come, and this little family arrives at the temple. And at the same time, the Holy Spirit moves Simeon to be in the right place at the right time. How easily Simeon could have missed what he was waiting for all that time. How easily he could have ignored that nudge from the Holy Spirit and could have done something else with his day, and he would have missed it. How often do we miss what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives because we are not paying attention? We're not listening. We're not being obedient. How often do we miss it? How often do we miss the fulfillment of the promise that we have been waiting for so long because we don't see what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in our lives? How often do we miss it? May that not be you. May that not be me, in Jesus' name. And so, in fulfillment of the promise that God has made to Simeon, the Holy Spirit leads him to the temple, and Simeon sees this little family walking in, and he recognizes who this little baby is. Just a little baby. Again, people would miss the Messiah because all they see is a little baby. And that's a wonderful time for this little baby to cry, because it reminds us of Jesus, the little baby. But equally, how often do we miss what God is trying to do in our lives when things look really dark and difficult? And we miss what God is doing because all we look at is the dark and difficult stuff. And we don't see that little glimmer of hope that God is working. May our eyes constantly be reminded to look back at Jesus. To look back at Jesus. What is Jesus doing for you right now in your lives? Yes, it might be tough at home. Yes, it might be tough at work. There might be difficult things going on, but what is Jesus doing in your life right now? The promise in God's word is that he is always working. He never slumbers nor sleeps. He is always working. So even in something which is really hard, really difficult, we can trust he is always working, because his word says he is always working. And he is, believe it, he is. He loves you, and he is always working in your life. He is always wanting the best for you. Always. So Simeon has heard the Holy Spirit. He's listened to the Holy Spirit. He's moved to be in the right place at the right time. And then he sees Jesus. He sees the promise. The promised Messiah that he's waited for all this time. And he takes the baby and he offers up a prayer of thanksgiving. And he actually uses the language of Isaiah to pray this prayer. And he celebrates the salvation of Jesus, salvation of God through Jesus. And for the first time, the audience to the book of Luke would have realized that he's not there just for the Jews, but he's there for the Gentiles as well. He's there for you and me. I don't think any of us here are Jewish people. But God sent Jesus not just for the Jews, but for all of us. Isn't God good? But it would have been a real surprise to the ancient audience to have read that and to realize it's not just for me, it's for them over there. Them who are, we would actually call dogs. They called the Gentiles dogs. But it's actually for them too. Even the unclean, it's for them. And that gives us all hope, even though we are sinners, even though we are unclean, even though we don't live right. Jesus died for each one of us. We all sin. We all get it wrong. Not one of us is without sin. Not one of us can stand here and say, I'm too holy and I get it right all the time. That's a complete lie. We don't. We're human. We sin. But that's why Jesus came. Jesus is the only one who was spotless, the only one that was without sin, the only one that could lay down his life for all of us, the only one that could bring us back into relationship with a holy, holy God, the only one. And we thank you, Jesus, that you did come as that baby. You grew into a man, and then you chose to lay down your life for each one of us. You chose to do that. You chose to pay the price for each one of us that we should have paid because of our sin. You chose to do that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And thank you that we can know you. You didn't stay dead. You rose again. And we can know you. We can be with you. We can speak to you. We can love you. We can worship you. We can hear from you. You are interested in us. You speak to us every day. You are real. And Lord, we thank you that we know you. We have the privilege to know you. We have the privilege to say yes to you. Every day. Thank you, Jesus. So going back to the story, Simeon turns his attention to Mary. He speaks of Jesus' future and how Jesus will cause division. And we know that he did. He did cause division. Families turned against each other because some chose Jesus and some didn't. He prophesied that there would be conflict amongst God's chosen people and that some would reject Jesus. And yes, we know even today that some of the Jewish people still reject Jesus as the Messiah. But in the Gentile community, which is the rest of the world, some people reject Jesus as their Messiah. And then he talks of the personal cost to Mary, his mother. A sword will pierce your own soul too. And he's telling of the time when one day she will be full of sorrow as she sees her son, Jesus, who she loves so much, nailed to that cross. And she stands at the foot of the cross looking up at his broken body on that cross. And then she probably remembers the words of Simeon, that one day her own soul will be pierced, her own son, the son given to her by God, there on the cross, crucified. So what lessons can we learn from Simeon? That we should not miss the leading of the Holy Spirit. Not miss what the Holy Spirit is trying to do. and not miss the fulfillment of the promise. Not miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss what he's trying to do in your life. And then verse 36, there was also the prophet Anna, the daughter of Peniel of the tribe of Asher. So this is verse 36 to 38. Thank you. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then she was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So here we've got another Jewish lady, very devout, doesn't leave the temple, so much is her desire to worship God. Now, I don't know whether anyone's actually looked at the narrative here and really considered this, but if you look, there are two verses which are dedicated to just describing Anna. And there's only one verse, in fact, there's only one sentence which is what she actually said. So what is the writer of Luke wanting to emphasize to us, do you think? Please don't worry about the baby. We love babies, so please don't worry. So what do you think the writer of Luke is wanting to say to us? There's only one sentence which is about what she said. All of the rest is about Anna. So why has he done it like that? Anyone ever thought of that? Yeah. He's using her, she's a prophet, okay? And prophets, often their life, the life of a prophet, mirrors it kind of is an example, a story in itself, of what God is trying to say. So her life is a story of what God is trying to say to the nation of Israel, to us. So she was very old. She has waited a long, long time. She has been very faithful to God. It's not clear exactly from the Greek how long she has been waiting, you know, and how long her marriage is, but potentially she could have been waiting some 60 years, waiting in the temple, never leaving the temple, worshipping night and day, fasting and praying. So that's not like us. We come here on a Sunday, we go home and watch Netflix. We go to work. We go out having a lovely meal. We do whatever we do. And then we come back next Sunday. No. She never left the temple. She never left the temple. She was continually fasting, praying, worshipping. This is key. If you want to see Jesus, this is absolutely key. Faithfulness, worship, fasting, praying. This is key. Absolutely key. And the writer of Luke wants us to see this. He wants us to see the importance of this. And then the reward is that she got to meet Jesus. Like Simeon, she got to meet Jesus. And yes, she gave thanks to God. She spoke about the child. She was the first evangelist that we know of in the Bible, because she spoke about Jesus, post-Jesus coming, and what he was going to do. Amazing. But to get to that point, she had to be faithful. Faithful with the promise. Faithful with the promise. Staying in the temple. I'm not suggesting that you camp out here in the church, because you can have a temple at home where you are the temple of God. You are the temple of God. The Holy Spirit lives in you. But it's having that attitude that you are walking with God all the time. You've got the Holy Spirit in you and with you, and you can and should walk with him wherever you go, with that understanding, that knowledge that his presence is with you wherever you go. You don't leave him behind when you leave the church. He comes with you. But becoming aware and turning your heart to him and worshiping him wherever you are is key. Praying wherever you are with him is key. Fasting is key. We're going to have some teaching on that next week in your groups, and then we're going to have a week of prayer and fasting. But all of these things are key to bring you closer to Jesus. So she had waited many years. And of course, in the Bible, we know of other people like Sarah, Abraham, Moses. They waited many, many years to see the promises fulfilled in their lives. Some of them didn't, as we found in Hebrews, is it 8 or 11? But Hebrews, some of them never actually saw the promises fulfilled in their lifetime, but they remained faithful in believing God, that God would fulfill those promises at some point, even if they themselves had died. So what can we learn from Anna? I think I've already said, but we need to stay faithful to God. We need to stay faithful to his promises. We need to stay positioned in a position of worship, positioning ourselves that we are going to be faithful. We're going to listen to what he has to say and not what the enemy has to say. We're going to put our minds back on Jesus. We're not going to let ourselves get distracted, get knocked off course from what he wants to say. And what he wants to say over our lives is far more important than what any earthly person can say over our lives. The word curses that people might bring out with their mouths over us, all of it is rubbish. And we can send it far away from us in the name of Jesus. Because what Jesus says over our lives is what we need to hold on to, what we need to remind ourselves of, what we need to speak over our families, over our jobs, over the things that we're struggling with. We need to remind ourselves of what God has said to us, the promises that we need to walk in for our lives. We need to remind ourselves of who Jesus says we are. And who does Jesus say we are? Who does he say we are? Who does he say we are? Say that again. Kings and priests. Yes, we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are set apart for him, for his purposes. Yes. Yeah, we are God's children. We are his family. We are loved by him. We are loved by him. We are loved. When the enemy would come and tell us that you are not loved, that you are useless, you are worthless, you're a sinner, God would say to you, no, you're my child. You're my child. And I love you. I love you. So we need to stay faithful, though. We need to worship him. We need to remember that we need to worship him even when times are tough, because that's what brings the breakthrough. That's what brings the breakthrough. So, Lord, I just want to thank you for these mothers and fathers that have gone before us in your word, for the Simeons, for the Annas, that have been faithful to you, that have been faithful to your promise. And Lord, through their faithfulness, through their lives, where we see that they got their reward, they got to meet Jesus. Lord, we are reminded that we too, if we are faithful to your promise, if we are faithful to your word, if we are faithful to you, then we will see the reward in our own life. We will see you bringing that promise to fulfillment in our own lives, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you help us when we are weak. Help us to continually to see what you are doing, to keep our eyes fixed on you, the author and perfecter of our faith. That, Lord, only you have the answer. Lord, that we will not listen to the lies of the evil one, but that we will fully come under your covering, under your shelter, under your wing. That, Lord, we will ask for and receive all that you have for us as we look to you, Lord. As we stay faithful in looking at you. As we choose you every day. As we choose your leading every day. And, Lord, there may be people here that are struggling. That, Lord, that they have taken their eyes off you. That, Lord, that they are feeling so desperate right now, Lord. There might be stuff that has got so big, so overwhelming in their lives and their minds that it's hard to see you. But Lord, I pray that even right now, that Holy Spirit, that you break into each life here today. That Holy Spirit, that you show your light, your truth, and shine that into their circumstances today, Lord. That they can see and be reminded of the truth of who you are. That you are the Savior. You are the Messiah. That you can take them out of the pit and set their feet upon the rock so that they can worship, praise you, give you glory for what you have done. And Lord, I pray that you will break the yoke that is on those that are feeling oppressed here this morning. That, Lord, that you will break that yoke off their backs right now in the mighty name of Jesus. That you would unblind eyes, that you would unstop ears, so that they would know the truth and the truth would set them free. That, Lord, that you would give them your eyes to see from your perspective. That they will see you, that they will see that the answer is in you. The only answer they need is in you. And that, Lord, that you would just ride ahead of them into the battle, that you would be their standard, that you would be their rear guard. And that, Lord, that you would open their eyes like you opened the eyes of Elisha's servant so that he could see the angel army all around. That, Lord, that you would open their eyes to the truth of who is fighting for them. That, Lord, that they would see you and would understand that with you, that's all they need. If they are walking with you, they don't need anything else. Because you fight for them. You fight for us. Lord, you fight for us. And with you, we will win the battle in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm going to hand back to Vivian and she can close us out.